This morning we talked about the subject matter was help is on the way. And help is on the way when it comes to the sin problem. Right there in the middle of Genesis chapter number 3. God's telling Adam and he's telling Eve, he's telling the whole world. You've messed up and you've messed up royally. But help is on the way. There was a Savior going to come. Going to go to Calvary and give his life. That what was done that day could be undone. Aren't you glad? Thank God. Our sin was undone through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Isaiah cried out. He said, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. But thank God, God can touch us like he did Isaiah, purge us because of the blood of the Lamb, and help us to be whole. Tonight, in the book of Kings, I think we'll read just a little bit here and get right into the message. I want to look tonight at the subject, help is on the way. This morning is when it comes to the sin problem. But tonight, help is on the way when it comes to the supply problem. There's a supply in our text tonight that's going to be running low. I know tonight, please hear me well right here, that God has blessed America. I don't reckon tonight, you know, I ate a peanut butter cracker last night, but it wasn't because I had to. It's because I wanted to. How many knows what I just said? Amen. I like to eat a peanut butter cracker every once in a while. And just while I'm biting it and chewing it up a little bit, I like to drink milk if I've got it with my peanut butter cracker. I'm down to that colored water that they call milk now. Help me. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Amen. I used to drink real milk and went down to 2% and down to 1%. And I ain't got no percent. I don't know what's in the jug now. Amen. Colored water, I reckon. But anyway, I like to stop and think about all the people in the world that would love to have that peanut butter cracker. There's a bunch of people in the world that would love to have a clean jar of peanut butter and a half a roll of them Ritz crackers. Amen. No, I didn't eat that many last night. Amen. But anyway, they would love to have them. All right. I want to get into the text tonight and try to magnify this truth and hope that God could help us with it. This is the first mention of Elijah in the Word of God in verse number 1 of chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. About the time that you think it can't get any worse in Israel, Ahab comes on the scene. And about the time you think it can't get any worse, Jezebel comes on the scene. And about the time, I don't know how you feel about our country, but I tell you, it's getting to the place when you wonder, how can it get any worse? How can we get any more vile? How can we be any more godless in the policies that are being developed in our government? The Word of God said up here, and Ahab made a grove in chapter 16 and verse 33, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger. I'm going to say something right here, and I might get crucified for it. That's all right. We've got a president that's done more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than any president we've ever had in our life. I I didn't mean to say that, but God did. I didn't plan on saying that, but God did. There's a supply that's needed. And God wants us to know tonight that He wasn't taken back by Ahab. He wasn't taken back by Jezebel. He wasn't taken back by the prophets of Baal. He wasn't taken back by the condition of the land. Help was on the way. Glory to God. The word of God said in verse number 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward. Hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Boy, the Lord just showed me something right there. You know, you'll find after Mount Carmel, Elijah is running from Jezebel. And a lot of people, I've even heard preachers criticize him for that. Right here, God told him to run and hide. There's a time to stand, but there's a time to just run and hide. God told him to run. God told him to hide. He said, hide thyself by the brook and Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath that belongeth to Zidon, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, well, I like this, he was from the south. He said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, these are beautiful words in the Bible. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode. And he laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, cried unto the Lord, said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. Pray for me. Let's pray. Father, help me tonight to be a help. I pray, God, tonight that you would magnify the word of God in our midst. Lord, I know tonight that I'm preaching primarily to your children. Lord, I know there are those here tonight that don't know you. And Lord, the greatest provision that they need is the provision of salvation by the grace of God. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us to understand in this chapter that, Lord, when it's dark, and Lord, when your people are in distress, and God, when we don't have any idea where our next meal is coming from, help is on the way. And God, you will supply our every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I pray, Father, tonight that you would help us, and God will give you glory in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I want to give you just two things tonight. Don't get real excited. There's several things under the two things, but I want to give you two things tonight that I see in this chapter. I see that there's help on the way for the weary. I believe Elijah got to a place in his heart and in his life where he was tired of the likes of Ahab and tired of the likes of Jezebel and tired of the direction that Israel was going in, going away from God and not going towards the things of God. And I believe there's help on the way. God is fixing to help his man. He's fixing to help Elijah in this story. You know, tonight, I believe with all of my heart, God's men learned a long time ago to trust God. Amen. I believe God wants all of us to walk by faith. Amen. But I believe with all of my heart, until we do that, we don't even know how to please the Lord. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. We must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We see that the lack of supply here in this chapter was due to a drought. Can I tell you there's a famine in our land? A famine, my friend, not for the preaching of the word of God. There's that kind of famine in a lot of places. There's a whole lot of places today that didn't even open a Bible, and they called it a church service. And by the way, there's a whole lot of places today that opened a book that they call the Bible that ain't even close. Thank God preserved his word in this old King James Bible that we could have a trustworthy book in this generation. There was a lack of supply, and it was due to a drought. Help is on the way. For the weary, number one, let me just say this down through this first little part here. The help was going to come through the word of God. Watch what the Bible said right here. And Elijah the Tishbite was of the inhabitants of Gilead. He said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now that might look like a man that's arrogant. But let me tell you something about that. There's only one way to explain this. And that is that Elijah had already heard from heaven. Elijah had already heard from the God of heaven. It's not going to rain. There's going to be a famine in the land until I say it will be different. Watch verse 2. And the Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, help is on the way through God's word. When God's people look to God's word, help is on the way. Amen. And I believe in the life of Elijah, my friend, he was fixing to see that God's word is trustworthy and God's word is true. The word of God said in verse number 2 there, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, let me say this, number 3, verse 3, God's word will give clear direction. You say, preacher, what do you mean clear direction? There's a whole lot of times, beloved, listen, what we need in our life is not muddy water. We need some clear direction from God. We need to know, God, what is it
And let me tell you, this is something I had to learn. It's a wonderful lesson. You cannot look any better place than the Word of God for clear direction in your life and in my life. And the Word of the Lord came unto him and said, get thee hence. In other words, get out of here, Elijah. Turn thee eastward. Told him exactly which way to turn. And then the Word of God said, hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Listen, there was no way. If Elijah would just listen to what God had told him through his word, there was no way that Elijah was going to miss God. Amen. I'll say this tonight. I didn't mean to say this. But what I just said took me back to a meeting that I had over here in the pastor's office. It's been over 2.5 years ago now with the pulpit committee when they were sitting me down and saying, Brother Vannoy, do you have any idea that God might be leading you this way? I told them, I don't have any idea. All I can tell you to do, men, is pray. You remember, Brother Rick. But I remember making a statement to the pulpit committee. I said, fellas, I can't afford to miss God. Oh, glory to God. I can't afford to miss God. I'm too far down the road, amen, to miss Him now. I wasn't talking about dollars and cents. I'm talking about the will of God for a man of God's life. We can't afford to miss Him. Well, guess where the clear direction ended up coming from? Right there in the precious old Word of God. God, my friend, said, help is on the way, my friend, for the weary. God's word will give clear direction. And then God's word will command the ravens. The word of God said in verse number 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I feel sorry for people who don't believe the Bible. There's people that don't believe God could prepare a great fish to swallow Jonah. There's people that don't believe that God could take a donkey and speak to Balaam. There's people that believe that stuff, amen. There's people that don't believe, amen, that the dove could go out and come back and tell Noah it's dried up now. Amen. It's going to be all right. There's people that just don't believe that God, my friend, listen, could tell them, boys, the fish are on the other side of the boat. Why don't you throw the net on the other side? Amen. I'm telling you, my God's in control of nature, and He will use whatever He needs to meet the needs of God's precious people. Elijah, the man of God, he went out. He set out. He said, boy, he didn't have anything. That's where you're wrong. He had God. He said, he didn't have anything. That's where you're wrong. He had God's word. You say, he didn't have anything. That's where you're wrong. He had God's creation. Say amen. God was going to use ravens to feed him. Amen. I believe it was a blessing. Don't you help us on the way. My friend, God's word will command the ravens. Verse number 5 and 6. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, which before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning. And bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. You remember me telling you about going up to Granny and Grandpa's spring last week? I believe that's the way old Elijah thought about that brook. I believe that's the sweetest water he ever tasted in his life. Amen. God brought him bread and flesh in the morning. Bread and flesh in the evening. And I tell you, my friend, listen, God met the need because the man of God was willing to do what the God of heaven told him to do and follow his directions. You know what we've got in this generation? Had it for a long time. Several decades now. We've got people trying to build this and build that. Let me tell you something about the church. It's not mine to build. It's Jesus' church. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And what happens is, people try to use methods that are contrary to the precious word of God. What we're doing in this generation, we're saying the Word of God's not enough. What we're doing in this generation, Brother Ralph, is saying them old songs is not enough. I got news for you, honey. The old time way of work. Amen. And my friend, listen. God commanded the ravens. God not only commands the ravens, but God's Word will comfort the Christian. Elijah found out it was exactly as God said it would be. Going to need some more help, Elijah. Why? Because the brook's fixing to dry up. But don't worry. Help is on the way. Amen. God is going to use the raven. God is going to use a widow. And God is going to bless that widow along the way. Did it ever occur to you? Let me give you this. The Bible said in verse number 7, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. You all remember Brother James Jones. He's been here, I think, a couple of times. To me, he is a precious man of God. I wish everybody could just sit down and fellowship with him a little while. He is a precious man of God. One day, we were kind of sharing war stories, Brother Andy. And I would have never dreamed that that precious man of God could have been through anything like I went through in my first church. Now, my first church, well, I'm not even going to say where it's at. Somebody asked me where I went to school, and I told them, my first church. That's where I went to school, amen. Amen. I'm not out of school yet. I'm still in school, amen. I'm still learning. But let me say this to you. When I told him that, he just grinned, and, you know, Brother Jones, he just shook that head back and forth. He said, "Brother, you're describing my situation exactly." You say, where does that fit in the message? I'll tell you where it fits. That man of God knows what it is for the brook to dry up. This man of God knows what it is for the brook to dry up. But can I tell you this? I wrote this down. Did it ever occur to you that your brook may have dried up so that you could be a help to somebody else along life's way? I believe that. I'm going to make a statement. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes God uses adversity to get us where he wants us. Sometimes we would, I'm telling you, I know how Baptists are. They're so set in the concrete, so set in their ways. They wouldn't move come hell or high water, so to speak. Amen? But sometimes God lets the brook dry up, and he's working not for our bad, but for our good to get us where he wants us to be. Amen? I was talking to a man the other day, and I pray this don't happen. But this man is in the prison ministry and off from here. And I was talking to him, and he said they had to sit through prison training. And they told him that they're no longer allowed to say him and her. You know what I say? I'm glad I got out of that before the brook dried up. Could you imagine me trying to preach, amen, without saying he and she and him and her? God help us in this country that we live in. The brook dried up on Elijah. But God didn't just have Elijah in mind. He had a little widow woman in mind. There was a little woman that was going to make her last cake and I guess split it with her son and go over there and lay down and die somewhere. But I tell you, it wasn't time to die. It was time to live. And God is saying, help. It's on the way. Help was on the way for the weary. Help is on the way for the weary or for the widow. Let me give you this. This is the second part of the message. We'll go right on through here. In verse number 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, let me just use this little word. I love this word in the Bible. God's word again gives clear direction. God's word again gives clear direction. Some of y'all, you'll probably never believe this. But two different times in my ministry, some of the preachers will believe it. Two different times in my ministry, the ministry God called me into, it's his ministry, but the part he called me into, I had the towel out, and honey, I was ready to throw it in. I give up. And the first time, the sweet Spirit of God whispered to me and said, why don't you go to Calvary? And I got my Bible down in Matthew, and I went with Jesus from Gethsemane to Calvary in Matthew. I got it over in the book of Mark, and I just got over there and went with Jesus from Gethsemane to Calvary in the book of Mark. I went on over to the book of Luke and went with Jesus from Gethsemane to Calvary. You say, preacher, I don't know what you're trying to magnify. Here, you'll get it in a minute. I went to John and I went with Jesus from Gethsemane. I'm telling you, I done had this towel wadded up, kindly out of sight. I done had this towel ready to stick it back in my pocket. God had done given me a backbone and some Holy Ghost determination to go on another mile for the glory of God. You say, preacher, why did you tell that? Here's why. Because several years later, it happened again. Aren't you glad God can use the Word of God? And the second time around, I didn't hear the Holy Spirit whisper to me. I just said, Brother Randy, thank God it worked once. I'm going to try it again. Amen. And God helped me not to give up, not to throw in the towel. Help was on the way when I didn't have any idea where it was coming from. Help was on the way. It's on the way for the weary. It's on the way. God's Word again gives clear direction. Watch this now. God's Word again gives clear command. He said in verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, you believe God can command a raven? Do you believe God can command a widow? God's Word again is going to bring a commandment. And he commands a widow woman there to sustain thee. What about that? Do you reckon that God knew that all she had was a handful of meal? Let me just say this to you. I'm not trying to be ugly. But all, we always need to remember. Sometimes we act like we forget it. He knows everything. I was in a service. I don't know if Miss Eve remembers this or not. There have been times in my Christian life that God told me just take my billfold and don't look at it and don't pick through it, but just dump it. And you ain't lived till God just tells you to dump it. Now, though, in those days, I'm talking about whatever you got in there. Just give it. That's what God told me to do. Give it. Now before you get all excited, I'll tell you what it all entailed was a $5 bill. I didn't know what a secret place in a man's billfold was. Then how many of y'all know what a secret place is now? Amen. My wife got my billfold one day and she said, you got any money? I said, no, I don't. She said, if I can find it, can I have it? I made a mistake and I said, yes. And her found it. Amen. They call it mad money. Amen. Brother John calls it pawn shop money. Amen. In case you run across a deal somewhere. Amen. He might see something a preacher needs, so he saves up a little money, amen, puts it in a secret place. One day, it was a Sunday evening, I remember, Miss Eve may remember it. But when she saw what I did, she knew, Brother Wayne, that was my money for Monday through Friday to get me a drink at lunchtime at work. Or if I wanted a pack of nabs or something like that on a break, she knew that was it. And she said to me after church, she said, honey, what are you going to do for lunch next week? I'm going to tell you this tonight. God's blessed this preacher. God's blessed me. I've not always been where I'm at right now as far as being able to. Listen, when I started out in the ministry, most of my suits come from the Goodwill. If people would have known it, they would have died. But I'm not a proud man. I'd rather have a brand new suit's got the tags on it for $5 any day than the $500 whatever pennies it's got down there, especially since they lined up with the gay movement. Somebody help me. My wife said, honey, what about lunches next week? I said, I don't know what about lunches. I said, I just know what God said to do. We went home. And this is the only, we can't explain it, but the only people that had been in our house was a missionary and a pastor. Brother Bud Wishon brought a missionary by. He had heard that we had come to one of them, what did I just call it there, the brook drying up experiences, amen. And he had heard that, and I don't know where it come from, but we have a family Bible on our coffee table right there, and it was opened up in a little wooden tray that I had actually built. I've always liked to work with wood. And I just, for some reason, listen, I never took the family Bible to read, but for some reason I sat in there and I just reached over and grabbed the family Bible, and I went to turning pages. And there was a $10 bill hidden away in that family Bible. You say, "Preacher, who do you believe put it there?" Well, let me just simplify it for you. The God of heaven. Help was on the way before he ever asked me to give all that I had in that billfold. How many believes that tonight? I'm telling you, listen, that God is going to use the raven. God is going to use the widow. God, my friend, is going to help us to see that he is in control and help is on the way when the supply gets low. Let me hurry. In verse number 10, it said, "So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city," get this now, he just shows up at the gate and he's already looking for God's lady, God's widow woman. You see that? He's not even going on downtown. He's not going, he only shows up at the gate. When you just get close to God and you just get close to obeying him, he'll show you what he wants you to do. Watch this now. The Bible said, help is on the way. God's going to help Elijah. God's going to help the widow woman. God's going to help her son. Listen, here's what I want to say, but not without testing. There's going to come a test. Look at verse number 13. "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me," does it make me a little cake first? "Make me thereof a little cake first." There's a test. Can I tell you something? I believe sometimes God tests his youngins. How many believe that? I believe, we were in chapter 4 in Philippians there on Wednesday night. I believe the church at Thessalonica and the church at Philippi and the church at Ephesus. I believe those churches that Paul ministered to many times over and over and over were tested. Will you put the work of God first? Will you put the man of God first? Listen to me. Right here in the Word of God, she was going to be tested. Elijah said, "Go make me a cake first." She didn't look at him and say, "Listen, man of God, have you lost your mind? What are you thinking? I've got a baby over here that needs to eat." You don't find that in the Word of God. I don't believe it was there. And the Bible said, he said, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days. You say, "Preacher, what do you see right there?" I see that not only did she not argue with the man of God, but it's evident to me that she believed what the man of God told her. Help was on the way, but not without testing and not without believing the word of the living God. She's going to be tested again with her son. The test not only involved her faith, but the test involved her family. And she said unto Elijah in verse 18, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance?" Watch this now. Listen to me carefully right here. Please, youngins, listen. Everything's going good. She's got something to eat. She's got something to drink. Her baby's got something to eat. The man of God's got something to eat. But when everything's going good, look out. Look out. Preacher, what happened? Well, there's a test that involves her family. She said, "Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" How many knows when we get to believe in God that an old devil, the same one that wanted to bring the doubt in Genesis chapter number 3, he wants to come along and knock our feet and legs of faith out from under us and cause us to walk by sight and not walk by faith. But here, my friend, listen, it did not work. She maybe questioned a little bit. She said to the man of God, what have you done? Have you come to slay my son? He said unto her, give me thy son. And before we're too critical of the woman, we might ought to listen to how the preacher's praying in the upper chamber. Because, listen, the man of God's not sure what's going on either. A lot of people think the man of God never doubts. Have you read about John the Baptist? My friend, listen. He took him up where he abode. He laid him upon his own bed. I say, number one, help is on the way when we turn to the Word of God. But secondly, help is on the way when we come God's way, when we cry out to God. The Word of God and prayer is the secret to the help that God wants to give us. He cried unto the Lord in verse 20, and he said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul, come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. I believe if you could talk to Elijah about this experience, he'd say, I just went to praying, and I didn't know it, but help was on the way. I believe if you could talk to this mother when the man of God disappeared with her son up into the upper chamber. I believe she's down there, my friend. She doesn't know whether she'll ever see him again, whether she'll ever hear him again. But thank God, God, my friend, was letting her know help was on the way because there was somebody crying out to God. Somebody believing God. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber. This kind of is almost funny to me. Think about this for just a minute. Elijah said, see? I'll tell you something. If you read that right there, just a couple verses prior, Elijah wasn't singing too good. Say amen. He was desperately calling on the God of heaven. And he comes down and says, see? The child lives. Amen. I'll tell you. And she said this, she said, now I know you're a man of God and that the word of God in your mouth is truth. God always has a way. He'll never let us down. Listen to me carefully. He's trying, you say, preacher, will the Lord drive us to our knees when we won't go voluntarily? Yeah, sometimes he will. Will the Lord drive us to the word of God? Will situations come that drive us to the Word of God in prayer? How many knows we ought to be going voluntarily? Amen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. The situation in our country ought to be driving us to the Word of God and prayer. Help is on the way. When there's a sin problem, the Bible said, I magnified another verse on the way home today. I wrote it in a deer stand that I built this spring. I wrote it on the front of the wood up there, real big letters. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. You can't separate help from the God of heaven. That's where God's people's help comes from, is from the God of heaven. And I believe with all my heart, Elijah is thrilled. The widow woman is thrilled. Her son is thrilled. And this preacher stands here tonight thrilled, knowing that when there's a problem with the supply, help is on the way. My wife and I, we used to go to conferences and we'd see an advertisement. I'm talking about years ago. We'd see an advertisement about how that you ought to
budget your finances, and it would give clear instruction what you do. You know, you take your income and clear instruction how you put a category for this and a category for that and a category for this. And she and I, we'd get started on it. But can I tell you, we'd always, way before we run out of categories, we run out of money. And we'd throw the pencil down and look up and say, God, there ain't no way to make it. Except to know, dear God, that you're helping us.
Amen.
Oh, happy day.
Yeah.
Oh, happy day. I don't say this critically. I've got much more than I need. But I believe it was easier for God's people to get their heart and mind on prayer and the Word of God when we had a lot less than we have now. I know it was for me. Amen. So let's, going back to the Sunday school lesson, Brother Brian, it's all out there. But let's try to make sure we balance it. Try to make sure that we understand there's nothing wrong with pleasure. Brother Rose was telling me about a fishing trip coming up, and all I ask for is some fish. Amen. And I love what Brother Billy said. Never had picked up on that more than lovers of God. Nothing wrong with having a little recreation and a little time with your family and your friends. But boys, if it ever becomes where you love that more than you love God, more than you love the house of God, you're in trouble. How many believe tonight help is on the way? When there's one end way out yonder and another end way out yonder, we can look at the ends. But what we ought to do is look to the one that's in the middle that hung on that middle tree. He's the one that can bring the ends together. How many's ever experienced anything like I've described a little bit in your home or in your life? You've watched God. What did the song say, Sister Patsy? He makes a way when there is no way.
Amen.
Thank God the truth and the life.
Amen.
Let's bow for prayer. Father, we love you tonight and thank you, Lord, for loving on our church this day and loving on this preacher. And God, I want to thank you for Elijah. Lord, he might have been kindly coarse. He might not have been too refined. But Lord, he sure was mightily used of God. God, I pray that you'd use our Sunday school teachers. And I look at our church, Lord, I don't think we're real refined the way that a lot are. But God, I know you can use us. God, I pray you will use us. I pray, God, you'll bless your men wherever they stand. I pray you'll meet their needs. I pray, God, you'll meet the needs of the families tonight. I pray, Lord, for that sinner tonight. The greatest need that he has tonight is to be born again, to be saved by the grace of God. Lord, to fall out with sin and fall in love with the Savior. Lord, I can remember how my grandfather used to tell stories, how that you met his needs. God, I praise you tonight that stuck in my heart even when I was lost. Lord, sometimes tonight we just need to call out and ask you to increase our faith. Help us, God. Like the one man that had the son that was sick of the palsy, I believe. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Oh, God, I pray that, Lord, you would help us. Lord, we love you tonight. I pray, God, you'd speak to heart.